Glad you're all here again today, and we're going to have Brother Cleo come up here, and he's going to read for us Mark chapter 12, verse number 28 through 34. Mark chapter 12, verse number 28 through 34. And the message this morning, I love the song that we just sang, by the way, and the kids' program was really good. And I moved this, and now it ain't going to stay put. There we are. Because he lives, you know, I'm so grateful for this time of year and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. And it's wonderful. But I've entitled the message this morning, "And Yet Be Lost." And I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. I'm in great fear of folks or my heart's very broken for those who have made false professions of faith. Now, again, my thought here this morning is not to cause anyone to doubt their salvation who has truly put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we live in a day of people who have, and we're going to go through some Bible examples here, and I'm going to show you some things who are yet but lost. Maybe very religious, maybe very good, maybe meaning well, and again, maybe knowing about the birth of Christ. We've watched this and we've seen it, and we watched that and we've read the Bible, and this time of year, Christmas is about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we may have knowledge in our heart, or we may have knowledge in our mind and believe all of it, and probably maybe none of us here this morning would argue that Jesus Christ truly was born of a virgin, just as the story was portrayed to us today, and we would believe that, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, we'd say, okay, I know that, it says it in the Word, and it says it in the Word of God, and I know that. And I know that Jesus Christ came, and the purpose of His coming was to pay for the sins of the world, and to pay for my sin. But yet be lost. And I want to help us here this morning. And Cleo, if you'll come and if you'll read for us Mark chapter 12 and verses number 28 through 34. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34.
Take my legs, so if you see my legs shaking, you know what I do every Sunday. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question.
You know, as I think about Christmas time and I think about the wise men, the Bible says, that came from the east. And they traveled. They were not there the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born. They were traveling, and they came to Herod, and they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the king. And what's really interesting is they went to where they thought the king would be because they were following a star. And again, they were truly wise men, and they were seeking the Savior. When they went to Herod and they asked Herod about the king of the Jews, the Bible says that Herod and all of Israel was troubled. And so Herod, he called together the chief priests and Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he gathered them all together, and the scribes, and he gathered them together, and he inquired of them where this Christ child should be born, and where the king of Israel should be born. And again, they told him right up front. There was no question, there was no hesitation that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But again, you know, the thing that really surprised me is those wise men, when they left, there were still just three of them. You know, it wasn't a question of the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders in Jesus' day if the story was true or where the story was, where it was at. And was Jesus Christ, the child named Jesus or Emmanuel was to be born, whether it was true? That wasn't the debate. But yet, why didn't they go? They had all of the answers, and they knew where Jesus would be born. They knew that he would be the Messiah. They knew that he was coming to take away the sins of the world, and he was coming to deliver Israel. But why didn't they follow the wise men? You know, that always puzzled me. You know, why did he send them away and tell them, you know, you go seek out the child, and when you find out exactly where he's at, you let me know. Well, we know how later on in the scriptures the reason for that it bothered Herod because he knew that if there was a new king in Israel born, that his time was short. But again, it wasn't a matter of that they didn't have the right information. It wasn't a matter of their knowledge of that information. It was what they did with that information. And I would gather to say, probably here this morning, we have anybody and everybody in this room would not argue with me about the reason for this season. The reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I doubt there's probably anybody here this morning that would argue with me and say, well, you know, I don't know that he was born of a virgin. You know, you would probably go along with me on that as well. And, you know, and you probably wouldn't argue with me. The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ was to come and die on the cross and pay for the sins of the world. You wouldn't argue with that. You wouldn't have any problem with that. You know, you've got knowledge of it. You've heard the message. You've been told it before. And but yet, lost. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, yet lost, not having the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You see, it's not good enough to know. It's not good enough even to just read it from God's Word. Many people are going to miss eternal life in heaven because the knowledge has not gone to their heart. The Bible says you must believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we got some Bible examples here that we're going to look at this morning of people that we could put it this way, in the suburbs of the kingdom of God, and yet died lost in their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ here was amongst the group of chief priests. This actually started back in chapter 11. The Lord Jesus Christ was with the chief priests, the scribes, the elders. He was with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they were debating back and forth about the law. And again, all of these people involved in this account of the Bible knew the facts and knew the truth. They weren't questioning the truth but yet they were lost. And this young man that stood up, this scribe at the end here of this reading in verse number 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions." You see, this young man was what we could say was what was circling the truth. They were discussing the truth. They were talking about the truth, and he was circling it. You know what? I believe that there are some of us here today that are circling the truth. You've been presented with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before. You're not arguing it. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you're that if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you'll spend eternity in hell. But you're circling that decision. And I want to give you the account of some folks in the Bible. First, the one that we'll look at here this morning, for a few moments here, is you may make an offering like Cain. You see, Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." You see, Cain, the Bible says here, in the process of time. You see, Cain knew that there was an appointed time to go worship the Lord. He knew that what offering that the Lord desired of him, and that he was to bring to that time of worship. And as the Bible says, in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, and he brought to the Lord an offering, but it wasn't what the Lord commanded. It wasn't what the Lord asked for. And you know what he was doing when he went to the time of the place of worship and offering that offering? What he was doing is he was going to the Lord and he was saying, "Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. All right, I'm here. I brought an offering. Let's make a deal, Lord. I brought an offering. I know it's not the one you want, but I brought the one that you want me to have." You know what? There are some folks here today that you know the truth, you've heard the truth, but yet you've come to the Lord and you said, "Let's make a deal. I don't want to give you what you want. I'll give you what I got. I'll give you what I want you to have instead of what you've asked for." And we know Cain, he was a wicked man, unrepented, and he raised a generation, many generations of wicked people. Then the next person we can look at here in the Word of God is a man named Esau. You may weep like Esau in repentance. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 16 and 17 tells us, "Lest there be any fornication, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You know, Esau, there was a situation in his life where he wanted it all, and he wanted it now. And sometimes there are some folks like Esau that not concerned about tomorrow, just concerned about today. See, what this scripture is referring to is there was a time that Esau was out hunting, and he was out in the field, and he came in and he was hungry, and then his brother Jacob had a bowl of porridge, and he couldn't see past the bowl of porridge that Jacob had, and so he traded his birthright. He traded his blessing that he would receive from his father for that bowl of porridge. You know, I believe that there are some of you here today that have traded salvation for what you can have now. Have you ever witnessed to somebody or you know, and I've talked to people several times and they'll, you know, they'll say, well, if I follow the Lord Jesus Christ and if I get saved, then I'm going to miss out on a lot of things in life. You know, that was Esau's attitude. He couldn't see past the porridge to what God had for him down the line, which was a whole lot better, which was more. And you know what? There are some of you today that can't see past the porridge. Yeah, and there'll be a time when you'll come and see, the problem with Esau is Esau waited until it was too late to repent. Esau waited until the problem in his life could not be reversed. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. Folks, there are some of you all that need to be saved, and you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know the truth, and you know what you need to do, but you keep waiting. And you keep waiting, and because you don't want to miss out on life's pleasures. You don't want to miss out on the things that the world has to offer you. But you know what? There may be one day that it comes by too late. My friend, Jeff Cordell, was one of those fellas. He had the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He heard the gospel. And he always wanted to wait because his thing was, I'm young and I want to live my life. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to have a good time before I fall into something like that and my life is just dull and boring. Well, at the age of 18, I was Jeff's pallbearer. And Jeff waited until it was too late. And Jeff now has spent an eternity in hell forever, so he could have that last ride, that last fun time. He waited until too late. Third person we look at here in the Bible this morning is, you may leave Sodom like Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You know what Lot's wife said? Rather than have a life with God, I'd rather have a life of sin. Can I tell you something? And again, Lot, God was judging Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin of homosexuality and their fornication and all the things that they were involved in. And they were being, the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the two cities were being destroyed because of that sin. And God brought out Lot and his wife. But Lot's wife couldn't let go of the sin. And again, what she said is, I'd rather have life, because they were told, when you leave the city, do not look back. Do not look back. And she got outside of the city and she looked back. You know, she was so close to being delivered. She was so close from escaping the judgment. But she just had to have one more round. You know, she just had to look back. And what she was saying in her heart is, what I desire more than God is to live in the sin of the world. You know, I believe there's some of us here this morning that fall into that category. We would rather live in the sin of the world. And we keep looking back. And Lot's wife, she turned into a pillar of salt. And then we have the Pharisees in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 23 in verse number 14. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for and for the pretense of making long prayers, therefore ye shall receive greater damnation. You see, the Pharisees, they were good at making long prayers. They were the religious leaders in that day. You know, and again, it wasn't that they didn't have the truth. They had the truth. But what they chose is they chose hypocrisy instead of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They chose to, as it says here, they chose to devour widows' houses, and they would stand in the streets and the synagogues, and they would be very religious, and they would say long prayers. And everything in their life was all phony and false. You know, I believe that we might have some folks in our church today that what they're saying to God is, I'm spiritual enough. I don't need Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, I can pray long prayers. And I can pretend like I'm just like everybody else in the crowd. But the truth of the matter is I'm spiritual enough. And you see, that's what the Pharisees were doing. They told the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm spiritual enough. And then we see, in the book of Acts, we see Felix. And Felix, in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25, and it says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, and that was the Apostle Paul, Felix, he said, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what, Felix, the governor was saying there? Paul, what you're saying scares me to death. The thought of spending eternity in hell forever scares me, and it bothers me. But, Paul, and what you're saying, and the way to heaven sounds good, but not today. Not today. I'll wait for a more convenient time. I'll wait until there's a better time for me to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no better time but right now. Because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. You don't have a promise of your next heartbeat. You can go to the cemetery and look at the headstones, and you'll see all kinds of ages. You say, "Oh well, you know, I'm young. I've got time." Well, my best friend Jeff Cordell, he was 18. Chris Threadwell was 13 when the Lord called him, and when his time was up. You know, you're not guaranteed of tomorrow. And Felix here, you know, he heard Paul, as Paul proclaimed the gospel and as Paul told him the way to heaven, but he said, it sounds good, Paul, but not today. Not today. A more convenient day. There is no more convenient day. If you're within the sound of my voice, there is no more convenient day than today for the day of salvation. And then the Bible tells us about the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to a rich young ruler. And he made the statement. He said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Think about that. A real live true camel passing through the eye of a real live needle. It's easier for that to happen than for a rich man to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. You know why that is? Because rich men or people with wealth tend to not need a Savior. You know, and there's some of us here today, you know, or there's some of us here today that you might say, well, you know, I've got all I need. You know, I'm sure there's probably not anybody in here that rich. If you are, you know, talk to me afterwards and we'll have another discussion. But, you know, you kind of look at your situation in your life and you're thinking, well, you know, I have all I need. But you see, this young rich ruler in the Bible, he thought money, fame, and position would buy him eternal life. And what he wanted, rather than having the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he wanted to maintain and hold on to the worldly riches that he had. You know, this, folks, this world has nothing to offer us. You know, you can gain, the Bible says, you can gain this whole world but lose your own soul. You know, all of the money, all of the richest people in the world, you know, that they can even, and there's even been some that have even tried it and they've buried their riches in the grave with them. But if you go back and you dig it up, those riches are still there. They didn't take it to heaven with them, and they didn't take it to hell with them either. The things of this world are going to stay in this world. And then we've seen Paul in the book of Acts in chapter 26 and verse number 28 with King Agrippa. And it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, I'm sure this morning that I'm talking to some folks here that are thinking, well, preacher, I know you're right. I know I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to repent of my sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. But. You know, and you might be here like King Agrippa, and you're saying, well, you know, I don't argue anything at all of what you're saying, preacher. I know what you're saying is true. And I am this close of surrendering. The Holy Spirit of God speaking to my heart, and I'm this close to accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But King Agrippa here, he said, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. You know what happened to King Agrippa when he died? Today, he's spending eternity in hell. Because, see, almost getting saved, almost accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is not good enough. You can't be saved because your parents are saved. You can't be saved because you're religious. You can't be saved because you're a member of whatever denomination or whatever church that you may want to be a member of. You might be here this morning and you say, well, you know, preacher, I'm a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church. If you're depending on your membership of Faith Independent Baptist Church to get you to heaven, can I tell you, it won't get you there. You will spend eternity in hell forever because Faith Baptist Church cannot save you. The only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. You say, well, preacher, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I'm fairly good. Yeah, I make mistakes along the way, but I'm pretty good. The Bible tells us that our very best is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And the very best that you can do, the very best that you can apply in your life, the Bible says is as filthy rags. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're within the sound of my voice, you want to know how you can get to heaven. First of all, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The way to get to heaven is, first of all, realizing that you are a sinner, and because of your sin, you're lost. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Pretty good people don't make it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, it says, for the wage, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, it's that sin of unbelief in your life. It's that sin. Not, and I'm not talking the knowledge. I'm talking about the belief. It's that sin of unbelief, the Bible says, that you fall short. And what that means is you're incapable of making it to heaven. You fall short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Physical death and a spiritual death, eternally separated from God. And the Bible says, because of your sin, what you deserve is to spend eternity in hell forever. But you know, I'm glad that verse doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God, you see, it's not God's desire for you to go and spend eternity in hell. It's not God's desire for you to perish in the lake of fire. It's God's desire that you spend eternity in heaven with Him. And so He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You say, does God send people to hell? No. People send themselves to hell by rejecting the gift that God gave, which was Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The Lord Jesus Christ said that Himself. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, it's amazing. We talk, and it's the season of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it didn't stop there in the manger. It went to the cross. Amen. And it didn't even stop there on the cross. He went to the grave, and praise the Lord, He is alive today. The Bible tells us after 3 days and 3 nights, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Today when I pray to a living Savior, not a dead one. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what you're saying with your mouth is, Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that You are the only way to heaven. I believe with all of my heart You died for my sins on the cross. I believe with all my heart that You were born of a virgin and You came for the sole purpose of giving me salvation. It says if you confess that with your mouth. You see, if you've never confessed that with your mouth, you're lost. It says, confess it with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart. Again, a lot of people miss it by about 18 inches from their head to their heart. It says, and I like the last part of that verse, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not could be, not he'll think about it. You will be. And it goes on to say in verse number 10, it says, for with the heart, not head knowledge, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Remember that verse we read at the beginning? There's none righteous, no, not one. You see, today I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ righteous. Not my righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse number 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever, that means anybody and everybody. You say, well, you know, now wait a minute, you know, you don't understand my life. I've not, you know, I've not lived a good one. My life's bad. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you, and no matter what sin you have committed, Jesus Christ, and whatever sin you will commit, Jesus Christ died and paid for that sin, and He wants you to become a child of God. The Bible says in Romans that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've had somebody tell me before, well, you know, I understand that, preacher, but let me get some things straightened out, and then I'll come to church. Let me get some things straightened out, and then I'll come to Jesus. You know, you'll never get it done. You'll never get it accomplished. And the good thing about that is the Lord Jesus Christ loves you as you are. And that verse tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Eternal separation from God in hell. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. I hope so. I hope so. You say, preacher, I don't know. Simple childlike faith. Simple childlike faith. God has given us the Word of God and told us how we can have eternal life. You know what I'm doing today? I'm trusting that what God had written in the Word of God is true, and He will honor His Word. You say, well, I've had somebody say, well, what if you're wrong? Well, I've lived this life for nothing. But what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? You'll spend eternity in hell forever. Will you come to Jesus today? Would you be willing to let us? I've quoted the Bible verses to you. I can show you the Bible verses from God's Word. Would you be willing to let us show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home? And where you won't have a doubt and you won't have a worry. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, it says, Therefore, I like that word, therefore, because you did, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'll wrap it up with this, folks. I'm concerned that there may be some among us that have made a profession of faith, but you don't possess Christ. You're almost saved. Almost saved won't do you any good. You say, what do you base that on? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, it says, wherefore, if any man be in Christ. Something takes place. The Bible says he is a new creature. Not that he'll become a new creature. It says he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, see, there's some folks that's made a profession of faith. And they've been like some of these folks that we've talked about in the Bible. Let's make a deal. God, let's make a deal. If you do this for me, then I'll be one of your children. God isn't Del Monte, or that guy on Let's Make a Deal. It doesn't work that way. You might be like Esau. And the only thing you can think of is right now, if I do this, I'm going to miss out. I think if I were you, I'd be far worried about what you're going to fall into. Because one day you will stand before God And he will say to you, after, get this, after you have bowed your knee and confessed Jesus as Lord at the white throne judgment of God, he's going to look at you and say, depart from me, you cursed, I never knew you. There's even going to be some people in that day, the Bible tells us, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, but we prophesied in your name. You know, what they're saying is, hey, we were good. We did some things in your name. You know, we were good people. We had a knowledge of what you said. And he's going to look at them and say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Again, as I said this morning in Sunday school, at the white throne judgment of God, if you're standing before God, before Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell. I'd love for you to be standing with Jesus, with me, with many other born-again believers that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Where are you today? Are you a professor of Jesus Christ, or are you a possessor of Jesus Christ? Will you think about it? Brother Mark, if you'll come on up, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a couple of verses. And if God's spoken to your heart, can I encourage you? And if you need to be saved, will you come? Will you come and let us show you those verses from the Bible? Let us pray with you. Let us guide you and help you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And we would count it a great privilege if you would allow us to do that.